by calling 4341790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB. That's 266-4682. Or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Graham Vaughan is the technical operator producer, taking care of things for us until 1 o'clock. And I'm Dennis Johnson. You can join us and make your comments and share your concerns, and we can exchange whatever is on your mind. Good morning. You get to take the first knock. Hello.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hi, morning.
What is your take on... Hello?
I'm listening to you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi.
What is your take on the establishment of an economic think tank headed by Owen Arthur and made up of former governors of the central bank to help fix the economy of Barbados?
The former governors of the central bank have given advice from time to time whenever they're asked, either by news people or just members of the journalistic profession. Sometimes we've reached out to some of the economists who worked at the central bank, not necessarily the governors, and they have responded. Mr. Arthur, I don't know what his current train of thought is. Look, the challenge with any think tank is this. If you have people who all agree, for example, the Prime Minister has several advisors, and there are also several economists, either in Parliament, in the upper or the lower house. I think we have about three or four. If they all say the same thing, it's overkill. If they all say something different, whose advice do you take? And if they hold strong and fast in their positions, what would you do? So it is not only a question of getting people to offer advice. It is how you use the advice and whether you accept it or not. So if people want to volunteer to do it, then it don't cost the country anything. It's advice. You sift it and you take it and you chart your course. I don't know if, well, I don't know how some of them would react. That's the short part of the long answer. But there's nothing wrong with getting advice. The question is what you do with the advice when you get it.
Yeah, well, you just have the think tank there to give advice. You would use it if you want to use it or not.
No, but if all of them say the same thing, how many of them do you need saying the same thing? You see, for example, the former governor of the central bank, the last governor we had at the central bank, okay, Dr. Delight Worrell. Since he's left the job, he's written several letters. He has a way he communicates, okay? On all of them, he said basically the same thing. Send home 4,500 people in all over a period of time. 1,500 a year for the next 3 years. If that's his position, he sticks with it. That's what he's going to say. Now, if you have another economist who says, don't do that, which advice do you take? Now, and that is my concern about having too many people saying the same thing or just giving conflicting information. The country has to dig itself out of the hole that it's in. And in addition to looking after what's happening to us, we have to look at what's happening in the world. Because you have a trade war brewing between the big countries, and you know that could impact what happens to our tourism. It could impact what happens to investment. It could impact on a lot of things. So, you know, advice is advice.
Don't you think an approach should be made to Mr. Arthur?
Why, sir?
Pardon me?
Why?
Because he was in charge of the Barbados economy for 14 years.
And there are several people who disagreed with what he did in the 14 years. There are several people who enjoyed what he did in the 14 years, and there are several people who disagreed with what he did in the 14 years. And as I said to you, it depends on Mr. Arthur's state of mind. I don't know what it is. If you approach him and he says no, what are you going to do?
Well, he would have approached it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay, then.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Good. Mm-hmm. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Brother D.
Yes, sir.
I was looking at ways that this government, I think, can save some money. I saw on my television last night a gentleman who I was told is 68 years. I have an extended contract for 5 years. So 68 and 5 was that 73?
Somewhere around there.
Oh, how can a man or a gentleman, in all honesty, want to hold on for another 5 years and all young people want jobs? And a government can do that to us. Extend 5 years when pensioners is 67. What's all atrocities that these people come with? And then, yes, they listen to the Sanger's program and the lady, first lady calling, talking a bunch of foolishness. But it's time to uplift the country, not to pull it down.
And what makes you think that the person is going to pull it down?
I'm speaking about the lady, the gentleman that the term extended.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm looking for jobs for younger people, Mr. Johnson. 67 is retirement age. But what you want, all on the dinner to get hard that now and there on the pressure?
So there's some people who excel under pressure, yeah?
But they excel under pressure during your working life, but not extended working life. You see who? DJ, know you by the way, though.
Me? Sir, listen. You notice I've been very quiet, right? I'm 61. That's all I can tell you. You have a good day, sir. I am 61, all right? I'm ready to be put to pasture too, that's all. So I don't knock age. There are people who can, and if they are willing, and if you can get some sage advice, as they call it, out of them, and they're able to help you with the transition to more younger and what you consider to be more vibrant blood, hey, go ahead. I don't knock people for age. And I don't get into the drag down thing. I get accused of that too often. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yeah, very good morning to you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I'm just really brief, just a couple of points. Now, I'm one of the persons who believe in the rule of law. The law is for kings, peasants, and all of them. The law is for everyone, and everyone subscribes to the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, to put things simply in a nutshell, if there's been wrongdoing or improper conduct, whether in public office, by any official, be it public officers or ministers of the crown, you cannot have that. You have law for plebs and law for the aristocrat. Everybody must subscribe to the rule of law. Wrongdoing is wrongdoing. There's no big sin and little sin. And I feel very strongly as a citizen of Barbados and as a taxpayer of Barbados that rare it's been established, evidence is there, and the rule of law should be subscribed. If it's the minister, if it's the secretary, and let the chips fall, wait a minute. Someone or some person must be held accountable. The Barbados economy was mismanaged and grossly mismanaged. Evidence is there. That is a fact. And we as taxpayers, we sacrificed. We were taxed, overtaxed. Previous regime were told you cannot tax the rare out of a recession, and the rest is history. I'm putting it to you, good sir, that as a citizen of Barbados and one who subscribes to the rule of law, I think it's only put it in the ways that the good Madam Prime Minister would expedite within reasonable time and have those, if any sort of malfeasance, public office for their charges, misconduct in public office, that's charge, misbehavior, abuse of power.
Which law would that be breaking, sir?
Mm, pardon?
Which law would that be breaking?
I said the rule of law.
Sir, you said misbehavior in public office. I ask you, it's which
charge,
law
sir?
Is that?
That is a charge. That's a criminal charge. You cannot enrich yourself.
Hold on. People who hold office are paid to hold office. What charge is misbehavior in public office? That's why I ask you.
Misconduct. Misbehavior. You have misconduct in public office. Misbehavior. You're okay. not to use your good offices. You are a public officer, where you're a minister, where you're a firm secretary, where you're a chief education officer, whatever. You're not to use your office to enrich yourself or whatever. That's what I'm arguing.
Sir, okay? And the argument you're making, I am simply asking you, what does enrich yourself mean? Because if it does not break, what law are you breaking?
I have not been specific. I'm saying that we need evidence. If you were to extrapolate from what I said, and you said where wrongdoing is gone, the evidence is there. That's what I say.
Okay.
I'm not just talking emotional.
I never said you were, sir. Sir, hold on. Evidence. You see, okay, go ahead, finish.
Right, okay, and there's substantiated evidence, and then you take action. I'm not purporting that people's rights be violated. That's what I'm saying. I said initially in my opening statement that the rule of law, I believe in the rule of law as a citizen, and people have a right, they have a natural address to put their thing. But where there's evidence of malfeasance, you should take action. Good day to you, sir.
Okay, sir. Brass Stacks, good morning. And the West Indies are 6-1. T.S. Smith caught the silver ball. Rajitha won. And that's the reply, chasing 296 for victory. West Indies have lost their first wicket. They're 6-1. Sri Lanka, of course, made 253 and 342. West Indies made 300 in the first innings. And fast bowler cleaned up there, taking the last two wickets and giving him, I think, a 12-4 in the match. Brass Stacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
I am always all right.
Okay, a couple of things here.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, Mr. Johnson, that I really speak for people who, like the old people, and these people who will go outside and take a little spot of land and plant little things in it for themselves or maybe for their friends. And when these things are ready to pluck, to reap, when they come out in the morning time, there's nothing there. I am saying, I am not one of the people who talk about locking up politicians, but I'm more of a lock up those sort of people and give them a really long time in jail, because it's really breaking the cities fast in the country, you know, people, they're working the land, and then they can't reap. Those are the people that I will lock up. The other thing, Mr. Johnson, is that let's assume that the distance between the poor and the rich was about 40 miles. I have heard economists overseas say that this distance will get further and further apart. The problem with economists in Zimbabwe is, how do you bring this distance to one? Reduce the distance. And that's the question I would like to ask you today. How do you reduce that distance instead of that distance being extended?
You expect me to answer that, sir?
No. I mean, your opinion. I have no opinion,
sir.
Pardon me?
I have no opinion on it.
No, I know that you're well-versed in all aspects of life, so that we ask you that question.
So I have no opinion on it.
Yeah. The other thing is that, do you not find it strange that the last elections, the colouring of the youths in Barbados were put on show?
The colours of what?
The colouring
of
the uniforms of the youths in Barbados were displaced.
What are you talking about?
But in other words, the petticoats, the political petticoats, was beginning to show just before election.
Sir, I have tried to point out to more than one caller, one other gentleman in particular who talks about the unions all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know how old you are. I am 61 years old.
Uh-huh.
Both parties in Barbados, the middle letter is L. The two major political parties in Barbados, the middle letter is L. L stands for labor, which means they were born, raised, bred, cultivated, and continue supposedly to serve labor. Over the years, I have seen governors general, prime ministers in various countries that have come out of labor unions. As a matter of fact, in some Caribbean countries, the labor unions carry the name of the prime minister. Okay? In Barbados, over the years, there have been members of the labor fraternity who have run for elections and won on various party tickets. So if anybody you saw this year was wearing a petticoat, it was a well-worn over the years petticoat that simply was dusted off and brought back to the fore. Nothing strange, nothing new, nothing for me to get excited about.
Oh, I But I look at things a bit different.
Well, of course you do. That's why we have the interesting conversations we do.
Right. I would say that at least you should disguise your petticoat.
Why? So let me ask you something. When Mr. Bowen ran for the Democratic Labour Party, did he disguise his petticoat?
Who is Mr. Bowen?
There you go. Go and do your research. Call the economists, you know, and check with them. There's a gentleman called Mr. Bowen who ran for the elections on a ticket, and he was a member of the union. I could call several other names. I could also call the Honorable Evelyn Graves. He was a member of the union as well. He was head of the Labour College. He was a minister of tourism. Excellent gentleman he was, represented us overseas as well. So I could go down a list of names on both sides of the political fence who've represented this country, as I said, right up to the level of governors general, who've had union ties. If you want to call it petticoats, call it what you want to call it. Gentlemen of renown who've worked hard on behalf of Barbados. And while we speak, the West Indies have lost another wicket. It's 4-2. Powell goes. So we're on a roll. We are. You know, hope springs eternal. Brastax, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Greetings and salutations to your good self. Mr. Johnson, I crave your indulgence. Permit me to begin my today's contribution by first quoting from the New Testament, Ephesians 6:14. Stand, therefore, having your loosened girth about the truth, are having on the breastplate of righteousness. End of quote. Mr. Johnson, sir, it's my belief that there is a marriage between church politics and the country's elective politics. During the election year of 2013, the Zimbabwe Church celebrated its 175th year anniversary. In election year 2018, the church lost one of the founding members of the Zimbabwe's Daycare Center, the late Mr. Guy Curtin, and the Democratic Labour Party lost the government. Incidentally, the Church of the Zimbabwe's would be celebrating its 180th anniversary in October, whereas the Democratic Labour Party went into mourning on May the 24th, 2018, after their loss of 30 sitting members. Sir, much can happen during the course of 5 years. During the merge of church politics, I am hoping that the Anglican Church can elect one of their own as the 14th Bishop of Barbados. The clergy should be speaking in the same language as the laity. The laity keep up the church. Therefore, there should be no Greek, Latin, or Hebrew, the language that on the day of Pentecost, when people of many nations could understand what the disciples were saying, which is love, is the language everybody understands. Calling the pastor of a church father, a good father, reflects the love of the Heavenly Father. Over to you, sir.
You have a good day, sir. Thank you very much for sharing with us. 4341790. You can reach us at brastax@starcom.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB. The WhatsApp message says, I don't know why your caller even mentioned Mr. Arthur. The Honorable Prime Minister has a crack team of financial advisors and economists at her fingertips, including Dr. Clyde Maskell. 10 years ago, during two elections, the populists clearly showed they didn't want Mr. Arthur. The former PM has had his time. We appreciate all he has done. Let him enjoy his retirement. Write his greatly anticipated memoir, which I would buy if it were published today. And the writer also goes on to say, considering the strained relationship between the Prime Minister, Mr. Arthur, and the current Prime Minister, it would be quite interesting if he were taken on as an advisor. You know, the interesting thing about party politics for me has always been the rancor that comes to the fore when there is a falling out. And one begin, well, I usually ask myself, where is all the honorable intentions? Where is all the I want to fix the country and make it better for everyone? when you have the kind of, you know, as I said, animosity and rancor that comes when friends fall out. That's how I put it. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right. And you?
I'm fair. First time caller.
Good to have you, sir. Tell me.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to hear you also, because I've been following Brass Tacks for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's paper, I was reading on Mr. Jordan and Mr. James Paul. And as a person that don't call Brass Tacks, listen often, it makes me wonder, was Mr. James Paul not a member of the former party that lost the election, the last election?
He was one of the backbenchers, yeah.
Right. Wasn't he the same, one of the same members that was in Parliament when Mr. Thompson raised the water race 60% when he came in?
I am sure he was, because I don't think he came in after Mr. Thompson's death, so I'm sure he was there at that point, yes.
So I'm asking, he said that he wants to sit and talk to the minister about the raised cost of water and stuff like that. And I was asking myself, why, as your minister of water, you're the agriculture or something is right, why you never put these things towards the prime minister or your former government? And I'm so sure.
Yeah, maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe he did, but he just didn't do it out loud. You know, one of the, and that's why this thing called collective responsibility, well, he wasn't in cabinet, but this thing called collective responsibility of cabinet and responsibilities of parties has been on display, I think, over the last 5, 6, maybe even 8 years. Because over those years, there have been so many ministers who have raised objections to everything from economic policy to other things there were concerns about. But they've simply gone along with everybody else rather than, you know, as people say, taking an independent stand. I don't know. But he was a part of the government, yes.
Because to hear the gentleman on the paper about hiking the water and causes, and I was asking myself, well, the farmers, is the rates for the 150 per day for a standard for farmers, for wholesale residents, for every person?
No, they're not. They're different rates for different people. Commercial pay different rates. They're different rates. Household pay a different rate to commercial entities. But here's the other thing, sir. The whole question of a change in harvesting water and using water for irrigation purposes was something that came up and has been coming up over a period of time. And therefore, to depend on tap-borne water, which is potable water, for irrigation is something we should be trying to phase out and work around.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to talk about a water rates policy, let's put a water rates policy on the table that says, look, if we're going to have a rate adjustment, because here's the other thing, the Barbados Water Authority is supposed to be by now under the Fair Trading Commission. They were supposed to be placed under the Fair Trading Commission. One of the requirements was that they bring their books up to date. Now, question number one, are the books up to date? Are they officially under the Fair Trading Commission? Therefore, if they're under the Fair Trading Commission, if there is to be a water rate adjustment, it has to go through the process of going to the Fair Trading Commission. Now, what the government has done in the budget is to put a $1.50 surcharge on water bills that is supposed to be for sewage, and a portion of it is supposed to go to the Water Authority. Now, if you're going to have, as I said, a discussion going forward on water rates and how it's managed and how you're charged for it, let's have an open discussion that covers everything. Water for irrigation, water for commercial use, water for swimming pools, household use, the entire process, so that we know what the rates are, how much they will be adjusted by, and what will be the impact on every sector. Because already, in addition, I'm seeing in the newspaper, hotels saying we need an ease on this, businesses saying we need an ease on that or else because this 50% is going to cause my bill to go X and Y. So there are obviously people who, because of their associations or the business they're in, will lobby government. And the same way that taxes, VAT, and hotels get concessions, people are going to be looking for a break. So the truth is, we don't like paying tax, you know. When I sit and listen to people talk, the underlying impression I get is, we don't like paying tax, full stop. Yeah. You know, because already someone sent a question last week asking me, if you pay your water bill, but you refuse to pay the $1.50 extra, will they cut off your water to get you to pay it? So you see already people planning to pay what not to pay, right? So,
but what makes me laugh at that? Because honestly, right, as I told you, I'm not a pirate, but I listen to my after the calls, the information is very valuable.
Thank you.
But what makes me laugh is that me, this, I pay my, I have DirecTV and I have Surf or something. And I just laugh because my landline is one line with internet and my bill per month is $120.
Nine.
My water bill usually comes to about $50.
Right.
Sometimes I'll pay $45 for a necessity, something that's important.
Yeah.
I feel no one pay cost to me. I just make sure I pay my phone bill. And I don't use, because as you know, technology nowadays, you don't even lose your landline.
You don't even lose your landline, exactly. Yeah.
I use my cell phone.
Yeah.
So when people talk, but I just ask myself, but don't they even have cell phone? They put credit on everyday trainers.
Because it's $20 or $10, they don't see it, sir. And again, over the years, if you say you've listened to Brass Tacks, I'm sure you would know that over the years, right, depending on how long you've been, over the years, one of the consistent complaints on this program has been water and the cost of water. Okay? I remember when Telephone said they were going to introduce toll calls on landlines. People called the program and protested. Oh, the old lady wanted to call her friends overseas and the children overseas. People ain't going to ask you for a phone call no more because you're not going to want to give them. And we transitioned to cell phones, the charge per call, incoming call, text message, and we said not a word. We protested the rates, but we didn't say anything, right? Landlines remain. There are people who claim that because water is an essential service, it should not be charged at all. Okay? Okay, fair enough. There are people on fixed incomes who use their water sparingly, yes, and for whom any imposition, they would have to look at it because they're on a pension, a fixed income, disability income, or whatever. Their money is not going up. It's not stretching. But, as you said, when you look at your bills, you determine what is essential and what is not.
Precisely.
If you have natural gas and your natural gas bill is $25 a month, you know that's an affordable rate. If it goes up to $125, you know you got a big leak or a big problem, right? So it's the same with water, but we've grown up, and I keep saying this, we've grown up because we've had such a consistent water supply over the years. We've grown up brushing our teeth and leaving the water running. We've grown up going into the shower and turning it on and, you know, leaving it on while we soap and we, you know, we, because we're accustomed to it. You will go to places where people are so conscious of the value of water and how much they have to pay for it, that you see, I saw in a hotel that I went to in the country, I died with laughter. It said at the top, in this island in the sun, we only flush, we do not flush for number one. And I looked at it and I go, really? You're going to put that on a public bathroom wall? Okay, fair enough. But that's where it was. It was written there. There are people who have water tanks that was supposed to be used for flushing and watering and they don't use it because they didn't see the need to use it. Some people have filled it with water from the water authority. So if we're going to talk about water usage and the cost of water, let's go back, as I said, to how we harvest water. The fact that we used to have wells, the fact that we used to go to the wells and get the water from the aquifers. Now we have to pay Ionics Barbados Limited for desal water. We're bringing in more desal plants, or we were supposed to under the previous administration. I don't know if they're still coming. And here's the other thing that's changed over the years. Barbadians buy bottled water by the carton.
Precisely. And that's what we like. I have been to treat Guyana. And that way, so when they see me here using water, I'd be shocked because I remember Guyana So I had to get a bath. I had to get up at
4 o'clock in the morning in Trinidad, too.
So we get up at 8 o'clock in Barbados. You got water running in. I was laughing to see somebody always pass up somebody's farm. These guys wait. And I thought they would go after initiative into harvesting more water, build more dams, all that, mm-hmm. and capture water. And in other words, it was
Ghana got rivers that could put Barbados in it, right?
Correct. Yeah. And if you want good water for Ghana,
Trinidad have dams, too. Yeah.
Precisely.
So there's a note here that says, for example, how do the folks who are not getting a water supply daily pay the new daily tax when the government knows the water shortages in those districts?